Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Metal Hammer podcast, episode 198. I am Mel from Metal Hammer, and today we are finally bringing you part two of our big look ahead at this year, 2022. We've got a load of questions that you all asked us over on the Metal Hammer Facebook Read This page. We're going to be smashing through those and talking about, a quite crazy couple of weeks since we did part one of this. We kind of split this into two. We were originally going to put part two out last week, but all that stuff happened with Every Time I Die, so we thought we'd do a special little tribute to Every Time I Die instead. Even more stuff has happened since we did that one as well. There's so much going on. And as I say, we've got all your questions to go through as well. And to tackle all of this with me is my partner in crime, Metal Hammer Deputy Editor, the one, the only, Miss Eleanor Goodman. How are you doing, Al?
Hi, Merle. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thanks. What a... It's literally been 2 weeks since we did part one of this, and like so much stuff has happened. It's hurting my brain.
I love 2022. I love it for its energy, but also could it just chill?
Yeah, could it just
chill?
Just chill its shit. Just a little bit, please. Don't forget that the latest issue of Metal Hammer magazine is out right now. It is our new heavy special. Four different covers, four of the hottest young bands in the world today. Spirit Box, Sleep Token, Loathe and Xenonada each have their own cover out on newsstand right now. You can buy it online as well at bit.ly/buyhammer. That's bit.ly/buyhammer. We had four bundles as well. One bundle for each band featuring loads of signed stuff and all that kind of cool thing. The Spirit Box and Sleep Token bundles sold out straight away, so they are gone. I know that we've still got a few of the Loathe ones left. I think we've got about half of the Xenonada ones left. So if you're a big fan of either of those bands, go over to bit.ly/buyhammer right now, because these bundles do go quickly, so don't miss out. Just to kind of clarify everything that's happened in the 2 weeks since our first podcast of the year, we obviously had the big Every Time I Die blowout, which we covered on last week's show. We've also had Meatloaf has passed away, just one of the biggest and most beloved rock artists of all time. I mean, that was a pretty heavy piece of news to start the year with, wasn't it?
Yeah, rest in peace, Meatloaf. What a larger than life legend who's influenced so many bands and just been the instigator of so many people's good times.
I was saying to someone the other day, like, I can understand why Meatloaf stuff might have not been for everyone, because it was so flamboyant and over the top and just brilliantly pompous and crazy, but it was just undeniable. Like, you listen to Battle of Hell and it's just a perfectly crafted record. It still sounds so monstrous. Like, there are albums coming out this year, which we've already heard, which you can feel the DNA of what Meatloaf used to do in. And we'll get to that further down the line. But literally, I've been listening to new stuff this week where I'm like, it's really weirdly pertinent that Meatloaf has kind of died, and yet we're seeing stuff coming out where you can still feel his DNA, and of course Jim Steinman's DNA all over that. So there's loads of kind of stuff about Meatloaf's career and tributes to him. We've kind of covered everything around his death over at metalhammer.com, so you can go check all that out if you want to see what we've had to say about the amazing life and career of Loaf. What else has been going on? The When We Were Young festival got announced. We kind of breezed over that last week, but I feel like we should kind of acknowledge that a bit more. Emo finally has a Hellfest, L.
I know. It is When We Were Young. It's literally like going back in time to another place where fringes were emo. There was emo eyeliner.
Yeah.
I was in clubs listening to all these bands.
We had a debate going on over on the readers group, which I mentioned at the top of the show. If you want to join us, by the way, facebook.com/metalhammerreaders. We've got a great community over there. Someone posted a question about, I think they were asking whether grunge was the last true kind of culture shifting, mainstream impacting rock movement. And a lot of people steamed in and said, well, we had nu metal at the start of the 2000s. And I noticed that not a lot of people were really talking about emo and just the unbelievable cultural imprint that left behind. You could almost argue that of every single rock movement post about 1990, emo might have the longest lasting cultural footprint. I mean, we use emo, you know, as a way to actually describe a human being now. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I look at someone and say, oh, that person's really emo, or oh, I'm feeling a bit emo today, like, that all came from that movement. It was popularized from that. Emo TikTok is absolutely massive. Like, the genre is definitely experiencing a nostalgic renaissance. And I think people maybe forget as well. I mean, even mainstream fashion was impacted by emo. Like people in boy bands and girl bands started having these fringes that kind of reflected all that whole style a little bit. And then for this festival to just come along, I think that really rams home what an immensely important movement this all was. I mean, we won't go through the whole lineup here because it's not really like a Metal Hammer thing, but objectively speaking, purely in terms of this is a lineup designed to reflect a certain genre of music, this is like objectively one of the most stacked festival lineups that's ever been put together, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I'm just calling the lineup up now, but I know it's got some of your favorites on it. It's got AFI on it.
Well, that is probably my only favorite on there, but yeah, it's a big favorite.
Yeah, it's insanely stacked lineup, and I think they're doing 3 days now, right? Because they obviously had plans to if it took off, and everybody's losing their minds. Everybody's like, let's get plane tickets, let's go there. Because it's like every single name in emo under the sun, and it's
I
old and
know.
new emo as well. You've got My Chemical Romance and Paramore headlining, who are the obviously the mega behemoths of this whole thing. And then underneath you've got like the Used, Taking Back Sunday, who are sort of the older bands, and then for the newer bands you've got like Pierce the Veil, I Prevail, and then Bring Me the Horizon are in the middle there, who aren't strictly an emo band but definitely cross over in fandom for people who like emo. Avril Lavigne, who's
I think
the
Avril
pop emo.
she might be the coup of the whole thing because, like, Avril's kind of like, if you follow her journey, she's always been like an emo queen, but she's not really always kind of embraced that thing. Like, she's evolved a lot, and you know, we haven't really necessarily seen her covered in rock media in the same way that we did at the start of the 2000s. And for her to be on this lineup with that logo as well. I mean, that looks like it's been taken straight off a Hot Topic t-shirt. Do you know what I mean? So,
Well,
like,
she was like pop punk era, wasn't she? Like pop punk
yeah,
in the
totally.
pop charts, and then has
Yeah,
kind of
you're right. Yeah, she's a pop
moved
punk
through.
princess, really, not an emo
Yeah,
princess. Yeah, you're right.
yeah. When nu metal and pop punk were both big at the same time in the early 2000s, and it was the people would say the tail end of nu metal, but people like you and me would still say that nu metal was doing stuff. She was in the charts, like doing the kind of mainstream version of pop punk and alternative, but yeah, all about the dyed hair, the fringes, the alternative fashion.
Ties on t-shirts, that was a big Avril
Yeah,
thing.
that was a big Avril thing.
I mean, it's
Having
just
a boyfriend who was a skater boy, that was a big Avril thing.
yes, definitely. Avril invented skater boyfriends, we know that now. But yeah, it's just like, I mean, we won't kind of dissect it too much because I know that a lot of people probably haven't listened to this podcast here to talk about the emos, but I just think you can't help but marvel at what they've managed to put together with that thing because you know us metalheads, we've had like Download, we've had Bloodstock, we've especially got Hellfest in France for the kind of ultimate deluxe metal mega fest. We've got Wacken as well. Maybe the emos have been a little bit underserved and that's been fixed now. So good for you emos. I'm pleased for you. Well done.
Pleased, Mo. That doesn't work. Stop
No, it
it.
doesn't work. That was terrible. I wonder if Fall Out Boy just sat at home being like, oh, come on.
And Panic at the Disco.
I know, Panic. Yeah, where's Panic on this lineup? Like,
Don't know.
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to who's like kind of still in vogue and who's like cool and who's not cool and who's been cancelled and not cancelled in that world these days. So I don't really know what the discourse around a lot of bands is. But I know that Fall Out Boy are on that big Green Day and Weezer tour, aren't they? So I guess they're kind of busy.
Yeah. Oh
They're
well.
doing their thing. Oh well, not our problem. And as if I mean, to get us more excited, like, yeah, the emos, you've got that thing, that's great. We have got a new Ghost song and a new Ghost album confirmed. This is fucking exciting. Ghost dropped Call Me Little Sunshine last week onto an unsuspecting public. They're currently touring across the US with Volbeat right now. We've got a new Papa, we've seen new Ghouls, and we have a brand new Ghost Studio album that is on the way called Emperor. This is exciting stuff. What are you saying about Call Me Little Sunshine, L?
Is it Impa or Impera? I don't know.
Oh no, don't
Sorry.
do that to me again. This happened with
I
Prequel and Prequel. They
know.
always do this to me.
Wait, I forgot the question. What was it?
Well, what do you think of the single? Call Me Little
So,
Sunshine.
every time you say it just makes me laugh because it's like you're talking about a little nursery rhyme, like for a child. Well, when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, it's okay. And now I'm haunted by it. Everywhere I go, I'm singing this song. I'm singing it last thing at night, singing it in the morning, singing it in the shower. It's looping round and round and round. I honestly think that Tobias Forge is so good at writing pop hooks, insidiously good. And I actually am haunted by this song now. It's just the hook has got in there and it won't come out. And so I sort of love and hate Tobias at the same time.
Yeah, it's mad. I mean, when I first heard it, it's not, you know, the two lead singles we have for the Pope Star EP and then for Prequel were Square Hammer and Rats. And those songs are just so instantaneous. They're such massive, like, party rock bangers. They're just unbelievable. Two of the all-time great kind of catchy rock songs that have ever been put out in the last kind of 2 decades for me. And this definitely isn't that. And I thought after Hunter's Moon, which I had a similar feeling about in terms of not being like instantaneous, I wondered if they might put something out that was like a big like flag in the ground, kind of, yeah, goes to back verse song. And I don't think Call Me Little Sunshine really does that. It actually kind of reminds me of, yeah, like a Metallica Load Era kind of
It's very
stuff. It's got,
classic rock as well, I think.
yeah, it's
Little
definitely got shoved.
Sunshine.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely got vibes of that in it, but it's got a bit of 90s Metallica in there as well. You can kind of hear those, like that kind of like down, 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 down. Like the reverb on it and stuff sounds very Load, Reload era to me, which is not a vibe I was expecting at all. So it took me a while to really vibe with this song. I was a bit like, oh, I might have to wait and see how it fits into the album or whatever. Now I absolutely love it. It's been stuck in my head for about a week straight, and I think it's
That's
just
what
an
I
absolute
mean.
cracking song.
How does that happen? Literally, how does that happen? I was just like, yeah, it's fine. And now, like I said, I'm literally haunted by it. Haunted
Yeah,
by the
literally
devil.
haunted, especially
Literally
because of that, because it's
haunted.
ghost. But yeah, it's yeah, it's just great. They just, I almost feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just brainwashed by ghosts now. I feel like they would struggle to do something that I'm not fully in on. And I love this song. I'm excited about the new album. I'm so excited about the show. What do you think of the steampunk ghouls that we've seen on the
I love
internet?
the steampunk ghouls. It
I thought you
almost is
might.
like, how have they not done that before? Because it just feels like something that they would do. And with the helmets on and everything, it's just perfect for Ghost.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really clever, and it's like it's. Yeah, it's like you said. Now they're doing it. I thought, how have they never embraced that kind of aesthetic
Aesthetic,
before?
yeah.
Because it's always been a bit more kind of medievally, I guess, ghost. But this is just so spot on for them, and I love it. I think it looks kind of scarier and like a bit more intimidating. But I've got no doubt that when it all comes together live, it's still really fun and silly and everything you want from a ghost show. So yeah, I'm so excited for those dates coming up later in the year. Fingers crossed they go ahead. I know a lot of stuff's getting cancelled left, right, and centre, but I really want to see them. And not least because Twin Temple are supporting as well, who I am a big old fan of too. And did basically say when we were talking about them a couple of years ago, like, surely they're going to end up supporting Ghost, and it's happened. So I'm pretty happy about
All right,
that.
Nostradamus.
Oh, I'm just
Remember
so.
Nostradamus?
Yeah, although every
Judas
time you say
Priest did
that,
a whole thing about Nostradamus.
I was just going to say the first time first thing I ever think of with Nostradamus is just that way too long Judas Priest album with like two or three admittedly really good fucking songs on it. But yeah, good for them. I think we should probably finally, because I know everyone's been waiting for us to get on with this for 2 weeks now, answer some lovely questions from our lovely, lovely listeners and readers. We've taken all these from facebook.com/MeltHammerReaders. We said, what do you want us to talk about? What are the burning issues? What are some of the questions specifically related to the year ahead that you want us to kind of tackle? And we're going to do that right now. Al, do you want to get started?
I sure will. Matt Heeks asks, do you think we could get any bands reforming this year?
So few. It's a really good question. I just feel like there's so few that haven't reformed at this point. Do you know what I
So
mean? I had to really pull my brain apart.
we actually have a list on Metalhammer website. Well, our parent website, Louder. If you go to loudersound.com and look for 10 bands we want to see reunite in 2022.
I haven't seen that. I wonder if two of my thoughts were on there.
They
One
might
that I
be.
thought about, it's been 5 years since they broke up this year, although it'll be nearer the end of the year that will kind of be official. I think everyone would love to see them back. I think they are dearly missed in the scene. Him, I would love to see him come back. They are, you know, I feel like him fits a certain space in the metal scene that no other band quite does. And it was a real shame when Vila decided to kind of, down tools and call it a day with him. I know that he put some of his own stuff out. Time's weird now. Was it last year or the year before he put those tracks out?
I feel like it was before the pandemic, but maybe not. I don't
I
know.
just don't know.
I
But
just don't
yeah,
know.
he put out stuff that basically sounded super himmy. And that kind of, I thought that was really good. And I would be really interested to see what Vila would do if he did a full solo album and how he would make that significantly different to him, because he's got so many things he's inspired by as an artist and a singer and a musician. Like, I'm sure it'll be really interesting. So I do still want to see that. But while I'm confident that they're kind of young enough to still give it a proper go and like have a really good time with it, I would still really like to see him get back together as well. The other bands that seemed like they just called it quits really surprisingly, and it was really sucked that they were suddenly gone, was Anathema. Just one of the most wonderful, emotional rock bands in the scene today. Obviously evolved from being like a heavy as shit metal band in the 90s to being this really wonderful kind of proggy, melodic, ambient, atmospheric band who just crafted the most beautiful songs over those last few albums. And I thought it was a real shame when they kind of had to call it quits. It felt like that shouldn't be happening. They should have been able to kind of make more of a go of it. And I definitely would like to see them come back if that's something that is an option. So, two very different shades there, him and Anathema. But I'd love to see those two bands back at it. Did you have any thoughts on this, El?
My answers were identical, so
Really?
thanks for stealing them. Yep, him and Anathema.
No
But
way.
actually, Anathema have been doing a couple of members of Anathema have been doing something called the Weather Systems Project.
Oh, that was their
So
album, wasn't it?
if you go onto Facebook, you'll be able to find a crowdfunding page there, and they're releasing sort of these standalone songs in response to the crowdfunding page. So if you do like Anathema, go along and have a look at that.
Definitely do that. Yeah, I think, I mean, it was just so shit when they kind of. I can't remember the exact wording now, so I don't want to wrongly paraphrase it, but I feel like they broke up because it just wasn't, they couldn't really make it work as a band right now, and they just decided they just had to down tools for a while. And it sucks when you have bands like that, like bands with such a great career, so well respected. The metal scene likes them because of their roots. The kind of proggier scene loves them because of their roots. I think they had a cover on our Sister Mag prog actually as well. So they had so many fans and such a kind of unique and perfectly honed evolution of their sound, and it just sucks that we didn't get to see that carry on really. But hopefully this Weather Systems project, which I didn't know about until about 2 minutes ago, can kind of carry some of that on spiritually at least. Joel Anthony says, do you think metal festivals will be the busiest they have ever been because of tickets rolling over, or do you think there will be a drop in attendance due to COVID concerns? It's a really good question because I sense a lot of hesitancy about the kind of more imminent shows taking place across spring, because I think a lot of people probably have a lot of tickets for a lot of gigs and festivals right now that they've not been able to go to yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like with festivals, there's more of a chance of people going along because they're outdoor events, and Download Pilot last year proved you could do that, and Bloodstock had stuff in place as well. Obviously, there's always going to be breakthrough cases, but in terms of sort of screening and taking precautions and testing and all of that stuff, now there's a precedent for it. So the busiest they've ever been because of tickets rolling over, really hard to say because we don't have access to any of the ticket sales. And again, it depends on the festival. Like Bloodstock happened last year, so they won't have a rollover this year, I wouldn't have thought, unless people claimed that because they couldn't go because of COVID. I think they had a policy there. Will there be a drop in attendance due to COVID concerns? Again, for festivals, I'm kind of thinking unless people are vulnerable, then maybe not, because it is outside, people will be gagging to get back out there. So I'm cautiously optimistic about it, I think.
I've got no idea. I mean, I just think I can't see, for instance, the first proper download in 3 years not being full of people and a massive success. I just can't see it. I mean, yeah, Reading and Leeds sold out, or at least they're selling out some of their allocations at the moment, and I think they sold out last year. So there's proof there that it is working to an extent. I mean, gigs, I guess, are slightly different, aren't they? You know, like festivals being outside and stuff, it's.
Yeah, I think gigs are slightly different. I think it's a different picture there. I think there is some more caution, and we're seeing some cancellations from, especially from bands coming overseas, where they're on a tour through multiple countries with different regulations that's hard to deal with. So we'll have to wait and see.
We will wait and see. I mean, I'm so excited to get. I've still have not been to an actual fully blown metal indoor gig since Beartooth in March 2020.
Well,
So
you're the worst person.
I am. I'm a useless twat. I really am.
Yep.
But you know, I've not been comfortable going in a lot of the time, to be honest. And it's just something I've felt a bit uncomfortable about with everything. Made it out to Biffy last year, and it was amazing. But I've just not quite felt able to kind of do gigs with regularity again. But I'm hoping there's a lot of stuff happening in February and March that I'm really keen on going in. I think I'm just gonna, you know, suck it up and try and go and check out some gigs while we can at the moment. So,
I'm going to a gig on Saturday.
what gig is that?
I'm going to see Daniel Tompkins.
Oh, cool! I didn't even know he was playing. Daniel
Yes.
Tompkins of Tesseract fame, who I
Of
noticed are who are
Tesseract
now supporting Dream Theater at Wembley, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a cool gig.
Prog metal wet dream, that is absolutely fair play. If you're into that thing. Another festival's question. This is kind of a bit more PMA, I guess. Although, you know, Joel's question was very good as well. But Alex Pike wants to know, what is our most anticipated festival for 2022? And then Alex is trying to put words in our mouth. He says, why is it Arctangent?
Because Arctangent is stupidly good.
It
I said
looks
this on the last
great.
podcast, but it's got Opeth, Cult of Luna, Tesseract, Xelinada, Amon Ra, Alcest, Leprous, Perspacer, Enslaved, Ancient Fresco, Pallbearer, Oathbreaker, Rivers of Nile, Emery Thwindle, A.A. Williams, Kundra, Imperial Triumphant, Aranzi Pazuzu, Joe Quayle, Sugar Horse, Wheel, Boss Keloid, Pupil Slicer, and a lot more.
Hell yes. No, it looks great. I've never been to Arctangent. I would love to go. It tends to fall. Is it just after or just before Bloodstock, where we
It's,
obviously do,
yeah.
we've historically done like a lot of work and stuff at Bloodstock, so it's quite tricky to then get yourself up to another festival straight after. But I would love to go. The lineup's always amazing. It keeps getting better and better and better. Like you just said, Al, that lineup is great this year. 2000 Trees as well, who I think have some of the same team involved. Not really a metal, like a full-on metal festival, but like a really nice smorgasbord of rock music at that. I always find to find that.
Smorgasbord.
It's a good word, right? the way you said that, I thought I said it wrong again then. I was like, oh no,
No, and I shouldn't be
I'm
mean to you when
tired.
you can't pronounce things. It's a horrible habit.
Well, yeah, I read that if you pronounce clever words wrong, it's because you've read them but not been in kind of groups of people where that kind of phrasing is used a lot. So it means that
That's
you're well
definitely
read,
happened.
but you
It's
hang out with
definitely happened to
dumbos.
me. Yeah, it definitely happened to me. I didn't know how to say hyperbole for many years.
Oh, do you say hyperbole as well? Yeah, I was in that club for a long time, and then you just style it out. Someone says hyperbole, and you're like, oh yeah, no, I know what that is. Fine, it's fine. But yeah, 2000 Trees is a smorgasbord of great stuff. In terms of specific lineups, I'm excited about. I think Download looks great. I'm still, as we said last week, I'm still interested to see if you know, a lot of the kind of most hyped modern bands on that bill that I'm most excited about are on the smaller stages. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. Are those tents and kind of smaller stages just going to get completely crowded out? Is it going to work? You know, how's a band like Wargasm, who don't have an album yet, going to fare on a main stage? Like, there's a lot of kind of interesting questions I'm keen to see answered there. So that's quite exciting. Obviously, I've never been. I imagine I won't get to go again. But Hellfest just looks. I don't even know. They managed to do two separate weekends, and both of those weekends are two of the best lineups I've ever seen. It's just mad,
It's
isn't
just
it?
unbelievable. I don't know how they have made that happen.
Yeah,
Magic.
it's like genuinely
Insane.
the greatest kind of lineup of metal and rock bands. I mean, it's predominantly a metal festival, so I guess you could say it's like the greatest kind of metal-centered festival lineup I've ever seen. It just looks absolutely insane. You know, we've got Bloodstock coming up, obviously. That's looking good, especially now that Phil Anselmo seems to have dropped out. So, quite happy about that. Or so I read anyway on the Twitters today. What else have we got coming up? I mean, I'm actually, again, I feel like I'm going off on tangents into non-metal stuff, but I actually think the Reading and Leeds lineups are brilliant this year. They are such a varied and exciting mixture of mostly modern, exciting, cutting-edge names for across different lineups. I mean, the fact that you can have Rage Against the Machine on a lineup with like Little Sims and Halsey, but there's Bring Me the Horizon and there's Enter Shikari, but there's Dave, and I think Megan Thee Stallion's on this lineup as well, is she? Or is that a different one? I can't remember. But it's just really like, it's the most diverse lineup that's still really fucking good that I've seen in a good few years. So I think that'll be a good weekend. Have I missed anything else? Anything you're excited about that I haven't talked about?
Manifest is in May,
Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
say.
Yeah, May.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's looking interesting.
That's in Toaster. It's a very metal festival.
Yeah, it's got like, so for people that don't know about this, it's kind of like a, I guess almost like a proto Bloodstock festival in that it's, I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's outdoors, but it's certainly like, you know, a pretty big site that they've got. It's got like some really cool old school and I'm going to reach over to find the lineup right now. Yeah, a mixture of like really cool old school traditional heavy metal bands and really cool kind of underground stuff as well. So they've got the likes of Accept and Overkill, Our Old Phase, Visigoth, love hear that.
Yeah, the Dungeon Masters.
Candlemass, My Dying Bride, Rotting Christ, Cirith Ungar, Lawnmower of Death. So yeah, that's got some great stuff going
Don't
on. I've never
forget
been.
about Party Cannon.
Would never forget about Party Cannon. How can you with that logo? Fuck me. So yeah, that's looking really good. Another festival I've not been to. Hopefully I can get to some that I've not been to this year. That'd be nice. But hopefully, if they can all go ahead, it's going to be one of the most stacked summers of festivals ever, I think.
Well, leading on from that question, Sam Peterson asks, what band are you yet to see live that you're planning to this year?
Another good question. We've talked about bands that we haven't seen live yet already. I think someone asked us a few podcasts ago, what bands have you never seen? And blah, blah, blah. And we kind of said, well, actually, a lot of the bands I'm most excited to see are bands I have seen, but they've got new albums out. So we talked about like Trivium and Code Orange, all these bands that have released great albums without being able to tour them properly. But there are still some. There are still some. In fact, three of them are on our cover right now that I've never seen before. Oh, no, two of them,
Good
sorry.
link.
Two of them. Spirit Box, never seen them. They're playing Downloads. I'm gagging to see that. Loathe. Somehow I've never seen them, even though they're a UK band. I've just not been around or been at a different gig or whatever when they've been playing. I'm really keen to see them because everyone says they are just electric live. I have seen Sleep Token, but it was before they'd released an album and it was like a very new thing. So I almost feel like I haven't seen them yet because they've kind of evolved into what Sleep Token is now. And I feel like, you know, I know the songs now and I'm a fan of the band. So I'd definitely like to see them again. And beyond that, it's kind of again like not particularly metal stuff. I mean, the Chili's are back with John Frusciante, and I've never seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So if I was ever going to see him, it would be with John back in the band. So I might try and see if I can still go to one of those stadium shows they've got in the summer. That'll be a good laugh. If you want to go well outside metal, I've got a ticket to a festival that Bicep are headlining. Not quite excited about.
Stop
So
straying from the path.
I can't help
Get
it. I'm
back here.
sorry.
Get
I'm just
back here.
open-minded, man.
I would like to see Perturbator
Oh,
because
yes.
you've seen them with Sleep Token. You saw them at Yulu, and I've not seen them
Yeah,
yet,
funny enough,
so
that
I
was
want to
actually the
see
gig I
that.
was just referencing. Yeah, pretty good.
James Kent.
That's fucking mad.
I would like to see AA Williams
Back
because
that. Yep, same.
we got really into her during the pandemic. I know there's still a pandemic, but like at the beginning, she's done all her songs from Isolation and stuff. She's at Download and ArcTangent. I'd like to see Spirit Box, but I will go insane if they clash with Korn. I will be so unhappy.
At
So
downloads.
unhappy at
Yeah, that'd
Download,
suck.
yeah. They
That'd
better
be
not
bad.
clash with Korn, is all I'm saying. Party Cannon, who we just mentioned, I've never seen them. That'd be quite fun. And I suppose my non-metal one is I'd quite like to see Rina Sawayama.
Oh, I'd love to see Rina Sawayama. She's probably
She's
more metal than
great.
Bicep, so I think
She
that's
is.
allowed.
I think I'm allowed her. So
Yeah,
there you go.
definitely. And that reminded me as well, I've never seen Backwash, of course, who I've been so into for the past couple of years. She's been like an awesome kind of we've done a couple of really good features with her over the years and stuff in the mag, and I'd love to see her live. I'm not kind of Oh no, she's coming over for Roadburn, isn't she? I think she's doing Roadburn,
Oh,
so she is
I'd
confirmed for something
forgotten about
European.
Roadburn. There's
I know we
so
didn't even
many
mention
good
Roadburn.
events. So many good events.
Unbelievable lineup again, just one of the most carefully curated and beautifully put together festival lineups every single year. And yeah, I mean, getting Backwash for that is so exciting. So I would, if I was realistically able to, I would go over to Tilburg just to see Backwash, let alone all the other brilliant stuff they've got going on. That's pretty exciting. Our old pal, Alistair Belling, says it's been interesting seeing pop and mainstream artists begin to release albums en masse, i.e., Machine Gun Kelly promising two albums this year, The Weeknd hinting at the same. I'm doing it again, but that Weeknd album's really good. Heaps of artists basically engaging, I was shaking her head, basically
I do think
engaging
it's
in.
good. I'm just shaking my head at you as a person.
Just shedding all my metal credentials this week. Our readers and listeners know that we like lots of stuff. It's fine, but yeah, loads of artists are engaging in hyper release mode. And Alistair wants to know: do we think we'll see more of this in heavy music? For example, Trivium put out two quick releases, and how much that has continued the hype train for the band. Do you anticipate lots of albums getting dropped by bands one after the other in the coming couple of years?
Not really, only because I feel like, obviously Alistair mentions Trivium and they have done that and that's awesome. And some people have been very prolific during lockdown periods, but I think metal fans are more willing to wait for albums and then metal bands want to go and do the touring cycle with that album to get the most out of it before they do another album. So unless there's sort of a standout situation or extenuating circumstances, I kind of think the bands in our world will just keep doing the regular sort of album cycles. But having said that, there are exceptions. Machine have experimented with single releases. How many, we had this conversation last year. How many did they end up doing in last year? Was it seven? Or seven or
Yeah, six
eight?
or seven, something like that.
Something like that. They did a bunch of singles because they just want to put stuff out there and engage with their fans, and they've been very vocal about that in the past. So, and obviously Avenged Sevenfold surprise released their last album, which is another different thing. So I think there's like room for people to do things differently, but on the whole, my general feeling is that metal bands will sort of keep doing a more traditional thing. What do you think,
Yeah.
Mel?
Definitely the traditional metal bands will. I mean, when we've got a lot of kind of multimedia, kind of like trap and hip hop and kind of almost like bedroom production based artists in the metal scene now. You think of people like Backwash, we mentioned Scarlord. You could probably even put someone like Poppy into that, who kind of is almost like as much an electronic artist as they are a metal artist. I think those kind of artists would often more be able to put out albums one after the other, like Backwash put out two albums in 2 years. So I think artists from no side of the scene, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw them putting out a lot of stuff. But yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a big undertaking to do an album. It costs money, you need the space to do it. So probably not from most of the big artists. But to lead into some other questions we're gonna look at, you think the likes of Slipknot and Rammstein are getting rumored to do new records, and those are coming along a lot sooner than we probably would have thought. So maybe there's at least a little bit of a speed up in that process. But I don't think we're gonna get like six Ghost albums this year or anything like that. As much as I'd
Can
love
you imagine? One for
it.
every ghoul. They could do the ghoul chapters, and each ghoul could have their own record.
So you're literally printing Tobias money right now. So.
If you're listening, Tobias, or I mean to say, if you're listening, Papa Emeritus, did I pronounce that correctly?
I don't think you
Do
did,
some
but I'm gonna
ghoul
let it go because I'm a nice person.
do some ghoul albums, please. You could
Didn't
call it Too Cool for Ghoul, brackets S.
Oh my God,
I don't know what's happened
you're
to
just
me, I'm
printing money.
sorry.
You're printing money. Didn't Lordi release like 10 albums or something in a go recently? Do you know what I'm
In a
talking
go, in
about?
one go, no.
Yeah, they did a box set. Right, I'm gonna while you're next.
Lordy of the Rock and Roll Hallelujah.
Yeah, while you're answering, when you take your turn to answer the next question, I'm gonna quickly look it up. I've got a feeling that Lordi did like 10 albums in one go or something ridiculous recently. I
I'm
genuinely
just
think they
upset
did.
because Lordy had a restaurant called Rock to Run and I never got to go and it's closed, so.
Lordi are playing. So I'm based in Milton Keynes at the moment, and there's a brilliant metal bar right outside Milton Keynes called the Crawford Arms. I'm sure some of the people listening will know it. And Lordi are playing there soon, which is just hilarious to me because they're like such a high production value band. And I've seen them headline like the Forum and like proper kind of thousand strong things. And they're playing the Crawford, which is one of the best, but kind of definitely on the smaller side metal venues we've got in the UK. So I'll probably
Well,
go
you'll
on to
have
that.
to go. You'll
I
have to
bloody well
go.
will. Bloody well
Shall I do
will.
the
Love
next
the Crawford.
question?
Oh,
This
go on then.
is from Kevin Rowan. What are your predictions for what will be the Metal Hammer number one album at the end of 2022?
Ooh. In terms of our individual ones, not sure. You never know what's going to happen. You obviously know what you like as a music fan, and so you're probably going to show some bias towards that. I mean, being realistic about it, there are certain artists that, the Metal Hammer Critics Poll is done on a completely democratic voting system. You vote for, you award 20 points to your favorite album and 19 to your second favorite, and so on and so forth. And there's certain artists out there that when they release an album, a lot of people that work for Metal Hammer end up good at listening to it, are going to end up listening to it, excuse me, and are going to probably end up liking it a lot because they like that band. So, we saw that with Deftones, and we saw that with Gojira last year. I mean, if Gojira released an album, most people that like metal are going to like it. And given that Slipknot are releasing an album this year, given that Avenged seem to be releasing an album this year, again, if Rammstein put that album out that's rumored this year, you're going to struggle to see those get toppled because even if it's not everyone's favorite record, it might be a lot of people's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever favorite records. And that's often where these kind of things get tilted. So I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being one of the real big guns that gets it. But Ghost's last album ended up number one for that year, I believe. I think, didn't it? Pretty sure. I think 2018 Prequel was our number one album.
Yeah, I think it was.
So they are definitely in the game for that. But you never know. Maybe there'll be something crazy. Maybe there'll be like a spirit box sized newer thing that defies the odds and ends up actually topping the whole thing this year. You never know.
That's the exciting thing about metal.
What do you think? Am I chatting shit or?
I don't know. I mean, there's all the big bands we've talked about. There's Ghost, there's Avenged Sevenfold, Rammstein might release a record, Slipknot might release a record, who knows? I remember in 2019, Rammstein was my number two, and it would have been my number one if it wasn't for Fear Inoculum by Tool. If they released another album this year and it was amazing, that would be a strong contender probably for my number one. But I don't know because I've not heard anything.
Yeah, totally. I feel like Tool's the best example of what I'm just talking about. Like, if Tool put an album out, Tool fans are gonna fucking like it and vote for it. So it wasn't really a surprise that Tool got that number one spot.
I'm not expecting a new album from Tool. It takes them years.
Well, you never know. It would be very Tool to just surprise us just for the fuck of it and do that anyway. Although maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. We'll find out. So I was just doing a bit of research. On 26th of November last year, Lordi released a box set called Lord Adversity, and it contained their 11th up to 17th studio albums titled Skeletric Dinosaur, Superfly Trap, The Master Beast from the Moon, Abusement Park, that's a bit weird, Humanimals, Abracadabra, and Spooky Sextra. Oh my God. Spooky Sextravaganza Spectacular. That's a fucking Rob Zombie thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
So
just
yeah,
throwing a witch.
they had multiple albums. So there. Where are we up to? Tom Farrow asks, why do you think Download Festival never has bands running opposed to Iron Maiden slots? Relating to your discussions last week, as for those who are really not fans of them, there is no alternative. I wasn't aware they always did this. I know they've done it at least once.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I wasn't aware either. I think it's a prestige thing, though, isn't it? Is it sort of like a respect thing, prestige and respect? If you've got a massive band like Iron Maiden or Metallica or something, they're like the ultimate metal bands. So to make it like an event, you probably want everyone at the festival going to watch them, or everyone kind of gravitating that way anyway. And it kind of shows that they're big, respectable names. I don't know whether there's anything contractual in it at all, whether those bands ever specify that that's what they want. But yeah, it kind of makes sense to me on the level of everybody now go watch these massive bands play a festival.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's I know not everyone loves Iron Maiden, but you should. But yeah, I don't know why that is the case. It's an interesting I don't know if it's an ego flex or what it is, but it's they are probably the most universally beloved metal bands going. So I guess if there's one band you could get away with it for, it's them, but I don't know. I could not answer that question, honestly. Joe Fleischer asks, could we get more tours than we can handle once venues finally open fully? Could lesser-known groups be unable to book venues as big-time acts lock up available slots in bigger clubs and theatres? I wonder if this is already happening, purely because we're seeing a lot of bands having to push venues back a whole year. And I know part of that is probably to feel like they're fully clear of the pandemic. But I do wonder if that's also because the venues they've booked are not available for the rest of the year because there's a bottleneck of all this stuff happening.
It's so hard to know without talking to people at the venues, but definitely a lot of people have already shifted from 2022 to 2023. So I imagine a lot of schedules are getting really booked up now with that backlog stuff. But I think there'll always be smaller venues that are available for smaller bands because there's a bit more flexibility there in terms of organisation. You don't have to organise things a year in advance and get massive crews over. So I'd hope there's still some of that stuff going on. But I don't actually know, like, this is a topic we've visited before. I'm not sure how every town has come out of the pandemic yet, whether, which venues we've lost, which venues we still have. It's all just a bit of a crazy landscape out there. But the Music Venues Trust do some really good work on that. So if you are interested in venue stuff, go and have a look at their website.
Definitely agree with that. Good stuff. Let's do one more question, shall we? Should we do one more from Sam Peterson? Do you want to do
Let's do it. Yes, I'll read this. Sam Peterson asks.
that? We're consummate professionals. You can't tell we had a few weeks off doing this.
Sam Peterson asks, with bands continuing to postpone tours in the UK, Tremonti and Sabaton are recent examples, do you think 2022 really will be the year we get the live scene back up and running?
I think that it's going to be at least another year before we have a completely quote unquote COVID free. And by that, I mean, I don't mean COVID's gone, but I mean, hopefully it's mutated further and further into a less dangerous strain. And it's kind of just become, like a flu type thing, more part of everyday life that we just put up with. I think it's going to be at least another year before we feel like we can have a rock scene where we're not worried about COVID affecting stuff. I think it's going to be a while longer before that. We are really far along here in the UK at this point, which is great. I've got to be honest, I'm a little bit worried about all these restrictions just getting lifted right now, just as it seems we're finally surfing over the other side of the Omicron wave. It would just suck so much if, let's be honest, it's all political point scoring at this point. If this has kind of been done and just to distract from all the ridiculous party bullshit that's going on in government right now, but it's going to be at the cost of cases rising again, and then there's more shutdowns and stuff. That's really going to suck. So I hope that's not going to happen. But I think even if the best case scenario, and we are seeing out the wave of Omicron, and it does prove to be the last major wave of COVID in this country, I still think there's going to be a lot of backup to work through before we kind of get into a position where we're like, yeah, the live scene is exactly as it was in, February 2020. That all said, there are gigs happening. Turnstile tour in the UK next week. That's an American band coming over here and they're actually making a tour work, which is amazing. There are numerous other gigs and tours happening. I know a lot have been pushed back and that sucks. But I know the Ghost Tour is happening right now across the US. That's one of the biggest rock tours of the year. That's going ahead. From what I've heard, there's other big tours here in this country that are not going to get postponed as currently planned. So we've certainly got a lot more happening right now than we did this time, just under 2 years ago. So I certainly think there's going to be a lot of great stuff happening this year. I'm certain some of the festivals will take place at least. I mean, Download is still 6 months away, really. So that's a good amount of, or 5 months, I guess. That's a good amount of time to really get on top of that. So I'm feeling optimistic. I'll replay this clip at the end of the year if it ends up everything gets cancelled again, and I'll eat my words. But I think it's not going to be like it was for a little while yet. But I think it's going to be okay for the most part, and I feel like we're going to feel good about stuff in a few months' time. What do you reckon?
Nostradamus Alderslade, that's who you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think things are gonna take a while to settle down and everyone's feeling their way through it, but hopefully things will start to come back and they are starting to come back, like we just said. I'm going to a gig on Saturday, looking forward to it. It's gonna be good.
Whoop, whoop. I'm hoping I might get to Turnstile on next week. I haven't sorted it out, and it is mega sold out because people are so excited to see them, and that album last year was great. But if I get to it, I'll review it on next week's show, where we're also going to be reviewing the brand new studio albums from Korn. That's exciting, isn't it, Al? And Venom Prison. Big, big week for metal next week. There's probably other stuff coming out as well I haven't forgot about. But that is just about it for this week's show. Our big 2022 preview is wrapped up. Don't forget to go pick up the latest issue of Metal Hammer, our big new heavy edition with all those awesome bands. We've got bundles as well still available at bit.ly/buyhammer. In the meantime, we'll be back next week with some big reviews and a brand new issue of Metal Hammer to shout about. We'll see you then, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.